Well, the world of business and finance is never short of a story, and Stephen Main is the founder of crikey.com.au. He's also a shareholder activist. He joins me each Tuesday morning to talk about what's going on in this world. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Good, thank you, and thanks very much for joining me. I understand you're feeling a bit under the weather, so I won't work you too hard today.
All right, thank you.
Now let's talk first of all about some of these big Sydney, well, you call them trophy assets that are up for sale on the block, in trouble.
Yes, well, I think a big feature of the global credit crunch is the fact that Australia has too much debt, too much foreign debt, too much household debt. And given there is a global credit crunch, we're seeing increasingly more and more Australian assets having to be sold or attempted to be sold in order to pay down debt. And we saw another interesting one yesterday when Goldfields House down there at Circular Quay, it's owned by a property group called Valid, and it has sold 40% of Goldfields House, which it only bought 2 years ago, in a very quick sale in order to pay down debt. So Valid's share price has plunged from $2.20 to 80 cents. It's been slaughtered by the market, and so like so many others, it's looking around for trophy assets that it can sell easily, and in this case it's sold off 40% of that magnificently located Goldfields House down there at the Quay.
Well, some lucky buyer has got a fantastic position there. Who is buying?
Well, they, in this case they haven't said. It's a foreign buyer, but they haven't actually revealed the name. So the rumours are it's one of those sort of Middle Eastern government sovereign funds who's probably the buyer. And we're seeing similar things with, say, World Square, which is, you know, a massive development there in Sydney, and Allco, which is the teetering financial engineers. They're trying to sell 50% of World Square at the moment, and they haven't been happy with the prices being offered. And even when you've got the Stock Exchange headquarters up for sale, which is what's happening in Bond Street there, Record Realty, which is one of the Allco family, is also trying to sell the head of the Stock Exchange or the Stock Exchange building. So it's just interesting how...
Stephen, where do you list these things? You know, I don't imagine that you just pop them in the property pages. How do you actually find your market?
Oh, well, you appoint agents and, you know, you take up full-page ads in the Financial Review and you attempt to attract foreign buyers to come in. But the problem at the moment is that apart from our resource stocks and our sort of coal and iron ore mines, where there's a lot of foreign interest, there's not a great deal of interest to buy Australian trophy buildings or property assets. I mean, even last week, Deborah, you could have bought a 10% stake in some of Sydney's best toll roads, which are for sale because...
oh, I wish I'd known.
Well, Transurban, which owns part of the M7, the M2, the M4 and the Eastern Distributor, suddenly came out and said, we've got too much debt, $4 billion of debt. We're not going to keep borrowing to pay dividends. We weren't running a fair income business model before because we had all this debt. And we desperately need to raise some money. So they issued 10% of their company to the Canadian government. So all of a sudden, the Canadian government or the Canadian Pension Plan, their sovereign fund, last week bought 11% stake to lift their overall stake to 15%. So
maybe we'll find Mounties on our toll roads sometime soon.
Well, there's another Canadian pension fund which has also got 15% of Transurban. So 30% of the Eastern Distributor's revenue as you drive out to the airport there is actually heading off to two big Canadian funds, one of them a government fund. So it is interesting that increasingly we're having to look offshore because we've lived beyond our means for so long and we've got so much debt. We're increasingly looking offshore, and whether it's toll roads or whether it's trophy assets at Circular Quay or even the Stock Exchange headquarters, a lot of people are trying to sell all of assets at the moment.
Well, and of course, I think we also have to look at what China's up to. They're sort of stalking around some of our very big iron, you know, some of those big miners.
Well, that's right. We're seeing the first ever hostile takeover by a Chinese government company in Sinosteel is trying to buy a West Australian iron ore wannabe called Midwest, and it's already got to 43% and is attempting to get the whole of that company. And equally, ArcelorMittal, which is the biggest steelmaker in the world, controlled by an Indian billionaire, it is tipped to be about to make a takeover bid for MacArthur Coal, which is the last of the great independent Australian coal miners. And you've got a Korean company, POSCO, tipped to be a rival bidder, as well as the Chinese government itself through its investment company called CITIC. So there's an amazing scramble going on for Australia's resource assets at the second tier level. So the likes of the Midwest, the iron ore mid-cap players, and the last remaining coal players. And simultaneously, we had those figures out from ABARES yesterday predicting a 40% jump in commodity exports. So a staggering $212 billion of commodity exports they're now predicting in the next financial year. And equally overnight, we had Rio Tinto securing an 85% increase in the price of its iron ore with the biggest Chinese steelmaker. So massive scramble going on for our resource assets. Huge price increases coming through for coal and iron ore, and a massive increase in export earnings for Australia.
Now, Stephen, first of all, on the question of the sale of assets, does this just go ahead willy-nilly? Is there any role for the government in deciding about the public interest in the sale of some of these assets?
Well, there's an interesting situation at the moment with this Midwest takeover, the iron ore company in WA, because a big US hedge fund called Harbinger had bought a stake in Midwest, and because they hadn't sought Foreign Investment Review Board approval to do that beforehand, the government's takeovers panel has just ruled that they can't vote a key 5% stake that they've got in Midwest in this takeover battle against the Chinese government. So you have a weird situation at the moment of the Chinese government has got 43% of Midwest, but a US hedge fund is not allowed to vote its 5% stake that it has in a competing takeover situation. So the Rudd government's in a tricky situation where they've got a deluge of foreign investments applications coming in for various strategic resource assets. And they're not really being very transparent in terms of sort of which applications are there, which have been delayed. And we're seeing, in this instance, a US hedge fund being told that it can't vote its 5% stake. So it is a tricky situation for the government, and there is an unprecedented deluge of foreign investment. And we do largely welcome foreign investment in Australia, but I guess the whole government sovereign funds doing it, whether it's the Canadians coming in for our toll roads or whether it's the Chinese coming in for our mines, it's a tricky one for the government.
Now, that 85% increase in the price of iron ore that's been renegotiated on that contract between Rio Tinto, I think you said?
Yes, Rio Tinto and Baowu Steel, which is the biggest Chinese steelmaker.
Does that effectively up the value of all of Australia's iron ore assets by 85% overnight?
Well, effectively, it does. I mean, the ABARES figures that came out yesterday were predicting a 72% increase in iron ore export earnings in 2008-09 to a figure of $35.3 billion. Now, the fact that Rio have been able to secure an average 85% increase suggests that already the ABARES figures are looking a bit on the light side. And the iron ore export figures will probably be closer to sort of $36-37 billion next year, which is obviously an extraordinary record. So we have this weird situation of the best ever terms of trade in Australia, where people are paying vast sums for our coal and our iron ore. But weirdly, we're still also running a current account deficit of close to or more than $70 billion a year, which is largely because a lot of these iron ore and coal assets are actually foreign-owned. So whilst the government gets to clip the ticket and take 30% of the tax on the export earnings, the actual profits that come to the owners of the iron ore and the coal mines, a lot of them do tend to go straight back offshore, which exacerbates our current account deficit. So, but look, it is good for the country to have these huge increases, and certainly the Canberra will find themselves absolutely deluged with the tax revenue next year from coal and iron ore.
They've got a big to-do list, so now they've got lots and lots of money. They'll be able to presumably get some things done.
You'd hope so.
Well, let's hope so. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thanks, Deb.
Great to talk. Stephen Mayne there is the founder of crikey.com.au and a shareholder activist.